tonight is abolitionist and founder of Troy Brewer Ministries, Pastor Troy Brewer. Now that we're on the other side of this last election, what are you excited about?
The fact that the borders are closed and we can actually fight human trafficking fairly. The fact that the whole transgender thing. Okay, this last Sunday, man, we actually celebrated the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and not Transgender Awareness Day. Wow, what a tremendous change.
I really feel like there's an awakening taking place. People's hearts and minds are more open, probably a lot due to the fact that we went through so much darkness the last 4 years. What are you seeing out there?
Well, the backlash of the darkness we went through the past 4 years is that people went to the polls, people guarded the polls, which was really a big deal, and then people voted, and what they voted for was true conservative leadership and biblical-based ideology as opposed to the witchcraft of woke. And woke is broke, brother. It's broke. Even now with the whole Catholic Church looking for a new leader, what we've seen is we've seen a move among the Protestants. Now I believe, and I'm hoping for, a move among the Catholics, that we move and that the next leader will actually be a lot more conservative and a lot more biblically based as opposed to being a globalist. Or isn't it nice for us to be able to say, you know what, we hate trafficking, we hate slavery, and we're standing against it. And isn't it nice to say that our government is on the right side of that? I know that people are looking for leaders to be that way now.
You're very vocal, very politically active. It's refreshing to see. Are you seeing that there's more pastors, maybe some, that realize, you know what, I shouldn't have stayed quiet?
No, I'm seeing it, and it's so encouraging. People have indeed began to wake up. It used to be very popular to be woke. It used to be very popular and say, hey, this is the nice Jesus we represent. And what people have found out, brother, is that Jesus isn't nice, he is kind. You don't save kids from trafficking and end slavery by being nice. You do that by getting into the grill of something and confronting it and saying the good guys are here and we're here to change things. And I'm starting to see that kind of a great move of God.
Pastor Troy Brewer, God bless you, sir. Thank you for joining the Pulse tonight. Really appreciate you.
Bless you, sir.
Our friends, that's all the time we have.
And God bless you, David Harris Jr., then the whole Newsmax team. Hello, everybody. Blessings and peace on you. In the mighty name of King Jesus. Troy Brewer here coming at you strong. It's episode 34 of The Pulse today. And just over my left shoulder is my brand new YouTube celebration of 100,000 subscribers. And that was about 70,000 subscribers ago. So be sure and subscribe. Be sure and smash the buttons. Click the stuff. Put a smiley face. Give a comment. Let me know where it is that you're watching from. I got good news, guys. Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead, and I got even better news than that. Are you ready? He ain't nice. Oh, golly, guys, that makes people mad. Okay, so you guys heard me say that last night with David Harris Jr. This whole thing, we're actually, our whole media team, man, we're looking at all, you know, what's impactful and what's not impactful. The most viewed video I think that I have, it's definitely in the top three or four, videos is a short that I did. In fact, I'll get these guys to pull this up, and if you can find that video, we'll show it here in just a few minutes. And it simply says that Jesus ain't nice. Now, we've had over 400,000 comments, most of them going, excuse me, Jesus is nice. And like, you don't know what the heck you're talking about. You need to shut up. I'm going to beat you up and all kinds of things for me saying that Jesus ain't nice. Dude, Jesus ain't nice. He's kind. And it's ignorance of the English language to say that Jesus is nice when actually he is kind. When you're kind, you get involved. When you're kind, you don't let the lady get beat up on the bus, and you don't be nice about it. Okay, that kind of leadership within the body of King Jesus is needed today at an extraordinary level. And one of the things that we're recognizing is now that the Pope has died, we are hoping and praying that there's a great move of God among the Catholic people, as there has been with the Protestant people, that we move from a globalist, social justice warrior type mentality, which is all woke, into a biblical, Jesus is coming back soon style of leadership. Okay, well, I want to welcome you here, and I recognize that there's people joining me from all over the planet Earth. Chris, How are you doing today, sir?
Good, sir. Wanted to give a shout out to Jennifer in California.
Hello, Jennifer in California.
Yeah, a conservative stronghold out there. Melissa is in San Marcos.
And Brian Bolt. They're standing by right now. I'm about to have Brian on here in just a few minutes. Like, come on, Brian.
Another
come on,
strong,
hang in there, buddy.
Another strong red state. Lisa's watching from Illinois.
Hello.
And Monica in Flagstaff.
Okay, well, it's great to have you guys here today. And I recognize we have friends from all over the world. Our friends in South Africa have already joined us, our friends in Australia, and then of course my Ugandan family, which I just got back from Uganda. Miss Rebecca, it's so good to see you here today.
Sir. Hey, PT, how are you?
So did you see the clip from me
yes.
being on David Harris Jr.'s show?
It was amazing. Me and my family sat together after dinner, and we're like, we're gonna watch Pastor Troy, and the boys are like, is he at church again? Are we gonna go? I'm like, no, we're gonna watch him on the news.
That's cool.
And it was so amazing just to see it. And me and Josh have been here for a while, so we teared up a bit. Just to see how far and what we're doing together as a body of Christ and how far we've come. And just seeing your yes encourages us to have a yes in our spirit. And that is what we model here at Open Door in the big Burleson, Texas, that when you have a yes, anything can happen.
A big part of your yes means that you don't have to be nice and that you don't. And I'm doubling down. Not only am I doubling down, I'm quadrupling down on this whole thing of you need to quit saying that. That is the worst thing we've ever heard a preacher say. Dude, you need to understand. Listen, all of you woke leaders, hear me say this. When you were nice, you had transgendered people come in and teach your children about transgender, and you sit right there and let it happen.
Yeah.
When you were nice, you shut down your churches in the name of, you know, a protection, a peace and safety for everybody else. When you were nice, you wore a mask for a year and a half. When you were nice, you did 6 foot of distance. And there was no reality to any of that. There was nothing but blind compliance to something that was not the spirit of the living God.
Wow.
I mean, you know, friends, you gotta raise up. You gotta say, I'm not gonna be nice. Listen,
correct.
I'm gonna be righteous. I'm gonna be holy. I'm gonna represent Jesus. But I want to tell you, man, just like I told David Harris Jr. last night, you don't take on trafficking by being nice. You don't take on pornography by being nice.
Yeah.
You don't stand with Israel by being nice. Amen. You don't feed the hungry by being nice. You don't round up kids all over the world and educate them and protect them and love them by being nice. You do that by being determined that you're going to make a tremendous difference.
Amen.
And there's going to be a lot of people that's not going to like it. And here's what I'd like to say to that. One of my favorite scriptures, 31,171 scriptures in the Word of God. And it's in Hebrew, it sounds way different than in English, but in the Hebrew, it sounds like this. That's what it sounds like. And that's one of my favorite verses. Amen. Well,
so we have the clip. Do you want to show it?
Listen, guys, we have over 1.1 million views of this clip. And I can't tell you the visceral hate that this thing has stirred up. You see if this makes you mad or if it makes you go, okay, here we go. Jesus is not nice. Everybody thinks that Jesus is nice. He's not nice. He's kind. But he ain't nice. He is a dude. And he does not worry about everybody's feelings. He worries about the condition of your heart and the condition of your spirit in relationship with the Father, but he really doesn't give a rip about how your feelings change from one moment to another moment to another moment to another moment. He's not a hippie. He is a warrior. He's not a hippie. He's a warrior. I love that. Hey, listen, I want to talk to all my warrior tribe that is out there right now, and you're doing the kingdom stuff. You're fighting the battles. One of the things that you're doing is you're making a tremendous difference with the people that God Almighty brings you. You're standing for people that nobody else will stand for. Can I tell you something? You don't overcome racism by being nice. You don't overcome socialism by being nice. You do not protect your family by being nice. That's not what you do. And here's what I say. Rise up, people of God, into the kindness of the Lord and actually be selfless and get involved. So if you guys haven't seen that, I encourage you guys to get it and like it and share it, because it's sweeping the country like a brand new room. And there's a lot of people that would like to sweep the floor with me on it. They're like, that's what they do. Man, I could just say this, you know, good. Really, that's what makes you mad. Another thing, too, that people really object to in all this, Chris, is they're like, you're saying that Jesus is a dude. That was in context of the sermon. Mm-hmm. I was talking about his humanity, and I was talking about his deity. And so whenever we put it together in this short little clip, of course, it doesn't give all the rest of it. Like, how dare you say Jesus is a dude? I promise you, Jesus was not God pretending to be a man. He was a man. It's not fake. It's not baloney. He actually was a man. And on a human level, there were things that he likes and things that he doesn't like. On a deity level, there are things that he likes and things that he doesn't like. And when Jesus comes back, I promise you, he's not coming back to be nice.
No. The idea that Jesus was like just this lovey-dovey, almost fairy tale creature is something that just has to end with our generation.
Correct.
He came back as Lord and ruler and to make a way for us so that we're broken and lost in our own sin.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the everybody thinks that Jesus is the pushover and the Father is the mean one, and they got that exactly backwards. Exactly backwards. The Father is the giver of everything. Amen. The Father is the Father. He's holy, he's righteous, he's incredible. But you're like, well, whenever I see the ministry of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, what I see is that he is so kind and he's so good to people and he's so patient. He was there to represent the Father. When Jesus came the first time, if you want to know what the Father looks like, simply look at Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But if you want to see what Jesus looks like, if you want to see what he actually looks like, find a book that is called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the revealing of Jesus. It is the ta-da of who Jesus actually is.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something. He ain't nice. And I love him. I love him. There are a lot of people wouldn't vote for Trump because he ain't nice. I don't want him nice. I want him to tell the devil no. I want him to tell everybody that hates our country no. I want him to tell everybody that's here illegally, get out. I want him to actually stand up for the rights and the justice of the American people. I don't want him to be nice. And man, that right there, the fact that I have to explain that today is so foreign to people, goes to show you how media has brainwashed even the best of us.
Yeah. I just love that you are direct. You say the truth. You don't sugarcoat it. And I love our community. Everybody that's watching ODX, thank you for joining us. Thank you for partnering with us. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. God is on the move. I love what we have prepared for today. I know that you have two special guests, but before that, I just want to remind everyone that you could call. We have a 24/7 calling center, 877-413-0888. We are ready to partner with you, to pray with you, to whatever you're going through right now. Like Pastor Troy says, his sermon, he's kind, not nice. We have that on odx.tv. So this are some of the things that you can tune in, join us. And also, we just want to encourage everybody out there. We do this to save, to rescue, to build homes, to feed, and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Also, we just have some couple announcements. Are you okay if I go through that right now?
Go ahead, knock it
out.
We
have baptism service this Sunday. We are excited.
Baptized. There we go. Man, we're going to leave it in the water. We're going to be baptizing hundreds of people.
It's going to be amazing.
Come out. If you need to be baptized, come out and be a part of that this coming Sunday. Tonight, I'm actually going to be preaching at Open Door Church tonight.
What's your sermon?
You know what? I'm going to be talking about the difference between the cross and the resurrection.
Amen.
What's the difference of those two things? And one is the humanity of Jesus. The other one is the deity of Jesus. One of it, you know, like the cross, we have no participation in that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Our participation is that we are human beings. Mm. When it comes to the resurrection, we access that by faith.
So good.
And I'm going to go through those things tonight. And then I'll probably talk about how that Jesus ain't nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right on. I'm going to hammer that. I will not back down. And all of you people that are so mad at me going, you have to say, you're so hateful in how you tell me Jesus is nice. Like, give me a break, man. I ain't scared. I'm just going to tell you I ain't scared.
No, we're ready.
I know a guy who isn't nice, and he's all the way in Whittier, California. And this guy, in a very unnice way, but a very kind way, he travels the world doing crusades. He feeds people. He has a pregnancy center that he allowed me to come out and do the ribbon cutting on it.
Wow.
He's from Whittier, which is where John Arroyo is from, and which is also where Leanna Brewer is from.
Wow.
And he pastors a church out there. He is one of my best friends, and I forgot his name. What's his name? Brian Bolt. Yeah, that's his name, Brian Bolt.
Look at
him. What's going on, Pastor? How are you, sir?
Love you, Pastor Troy. Things are great. It was a powerful weekend. Man, I love seeing what God's doing in your life. It's amazing. Well, you are speaking the truth with power and love and boldness, and I love it.
Well, thanks, man. Well, you are too. You are one of the best crusade preachers I've ever heard in my whole life. And everywhere you go, you stir up trouble. Everywhere you go. You're just stirring up trouble. You've gone down to the Amazon. You went hours and hours way up the river. You met with our teams down there. You met with my teams on the border, and you did a giant crusade there. I saw you in Uganda last year. I was actually in Uganda. I drove past your crusade, but dude, I was so worn out. I was like, if I stop there, I'm going to have to stay like 10 hours. And I literally drove past you and waved when I was in Uganda. Like, you got this, bro. You got this. That's what I did. And I was just in Uganda last week, by the way. I was there for 18 days, and everybody asked about you. Honestly, everywhere I went, all over Fort Portal, people said, is Pastor Brian here? Is Pastor Brian here? And I'm like, no. I'm here. Anyway, hey, man, I know that it was your Easter service. And one of the things I want to do is I want to tell everybody how Jesus is moving in the church in the United States. And you're out there on the West Coast, my friend. Tell me what happened.
You know, it was a powerful weekend, and we saw so many souls get saved. And it wasn't, I love what you were saying earlier, it was not a weak, seeker-friendly message that I gave, and it was a challenge. And I challenged my people at the church. I said, look, I want you to invite people. And young adults just started inviting their friends and their neighbors, and then even people, you know, all spectrums of our church began to invite people, and we saw a great harvest of souls, genuine conversions. I mean, crossing the gospel bridge, going from darkness to light. There was no, it was no seeker-friendly sugarcoating. You know, it was just powerful, and we saw a whole family get saved. I mean, just amazing how many people gave their life to Jesus. There's something stirring here in California. I know there's a lot of people talk bad about California all the time, and I get the reasons why, trust me. You know, we can, I tell people all the time, a homeless person downtown LA can build a shack on the sidewalk and get in no trouble. But you try to build a treehouse for your kid in the backyard, and you got 87 permits and 47 things you got to go through. It's just absolutely nuts.
Yep.
But it's amazing. The Church of Jesus Christ here in LA and here in California is moving, and there's a hunger, and the remnant is on fire. And especially there's a move of God with the young adults. I've never quite seen anything like it that's happening here. I mean, we have so many young adults that are just on fire for Jesus. And there's this one little girl. I mean, I guess she's not little. She's like 19, 20. But she brought two of her friends that were completely lost, and they were into a transgender, lesbian type relationship. And they came to church, and my wife prayed for them. They got saved. They got completely delivered. God moved.
Come on. That's awesome.
It's amazing. I mean, it's just amazing, the hunger of what's happening here. The remnant is on fire. The hot is getting hotter, and the cold is getting more cold. But the remnant is hot. So,
well, you know what? Pastor Brian, we celebrate you, and we praise God for your church, and we praise God. You know what? We welcome everybody that's left California and moved to Texas, as long as they become Texans and they don't remain Californians. I just want to throw that out there. You vote California. You move to Texas and vote Californian. I just think that is the highest form of treason that there could possibly be. It's an insurrection, and it needs to be dealt with on the courthouse steps. Now that I've said that, that's my humble opinion. Now that I've said that, man, I praise God for the people in California, Oregon, and Washington State that have stood their ground, that have said, nope, we have a Jesus flag in the ground here. We will not be moved. We will lift up the name of Jesus. We will live in signs, miracles, and wonders. We will see people saved, healed, set free. In your face, devil. In your face, government. This is the way it's going to go. And you are one of those churches, and I'm just so grateful for you, buddy.
Man, we're grateful for you, and you have been a huge blessing to us. And you helped us out when the fires happened, and we were able to feed and provide for people. And your whole church was a huge blessing, because, you know, it's the government dropped the ball so much here in LA with that whole situation. And if it wasn't for some churches stepping up and some other organizations, it was a nightmare. But it's amazing when you just continue to love people, serve people, but also, man, you know, we preach the gospel. We tell people about Jesus. We're not, you know, My Jesus is not a hippie. He's a warrior. I love that. So, and that's where we stand, you know? So, I mean, and you got to tell people the truth, and because, you know, eternity is in the balance. And I take that so serious, that that's the one thing that drives me, is that the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation. And when you get to see someone truly turn their life, a 180, a complete conversion, and there's nothing like it, because it will speak forever. And it's in the balance. And, you know, I think that's why there's been so much attacks on the church here in California as a whole, is that, you know, it's very easy to, man, if you don't stand your ground every day here, it's very easy to lean. You can start leaning more and more a certain way. And before you know it, you're not even preaching a gospel anymore. You're preaching some self-help Bible, and it's not the Bible. And so,
well, you know what? It's like, you know, being in those kinds of political, social environments is a lot like being in a sexually charged environment all the time. Soon, after a while, you begin to think a certain way. You begin to talk a certain way. You begin to do certain things that are so wrong and so offensive, and you're just like, well, this is the only way that I can interact in this society. No, you're making a stand. All my California friends are making a stand. Man, you survived COVID, you survived the fires, you have survived the messes that have taken place out there, including the great invasion of your state of foreigners, and you survived it, and you're still there, and you're still seeing people set free. And brother, I'm just so proud of you, man.
Thank you. And you know, you're an inspiration. I tell everybody, I'm just trying to, whatever Troy Bird does, I'm just going to do it. But hey, dude, we actually grew during COVID. I mean,
yeah, we did too.
We stayed open. And I know our city protected us. And, you know, we came in this loophole too, that because we had a food bank and they couldn't find anybody to distribute the food because everything shut down. And so they said, why don't you just keep doing it? And we need you to do it 4 days. And I said, well, I'm going to preach the gospel and I'm going to do this. And they didn't really care because they just couldn't find anybody to actually do it. But yep, we grew so much during COVID. And I truly believe there is a remnant that is in revival here in California. And it's amazing to see what God is doing. And I mean, we had so many people at church on Sunday that we had to bring out chairs from our classrooms into the upper deck because we were running out of room. And so it's just amazing what God was doing. And it's amazing. I love what you said earlier too, Pastor Troy, because I realized something, and I think this is the case with California and a lot of other, you know, states out there, is that you can actually be close to the cross, but very far from the blood.
Wow.
And I know there's a lot of people that were close to the cross when Christ was being crucified, but they were so far from the blood. And it is the blood that saves. It's the blood that heals. It's the blood of Jesus that delivers. You can be near the cross, but far from the blood. And I realize that with people, there's a lot of people that are close to the cross, but they're far from the blood.
I'm stealing that line. Listen, I'm stealing that. I'm going to preach that all over the world, and people are going to think I'm a genius. So here's how that works, man. I don't know if you know how that works. The first time I preach it, I'll say, well, I heard my good friend Brian Bolt say. And then the second time I preach it, I'll say, I've heard it said. And then the third time I preach it, I'll say, God told me. And it kind of goes through that progression, is how that goes. So be looking for that. Okay, Brian, thank you so much for joining us. Pastor Brian Bolt of City Reach Church in Whittier, California. How do people look you up, man?
They can go to the website. It's on the screen there, bbworldevangelism.com, or they can go to cr.city.
cr.city. Hey, man, by the way, where'd you get that axis from that's right above your head? That axis buck up there? No, that's not an axis. That's actually, where did you get that from?
Redemption Ranch and the Odd Dad.
You got that Odd Dad from Redemption Ranch as well? Well, yeah. I'm calling the game warden because poaching is illegal, and we're going to have to do a better job with our fencing out there. Come out and see me soon, brother.
Love you.
I love you, man. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Hey, that's a pretty cool report.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. That is a pretty daggum cool report, man. I like that. Well, so blessed and peace with you. I've got Todd Coconato is going to tell us about his Easter service here. But before we actually do that, he's going to be joining us here within just the next few minutes. What else do we have here? We're going to show a video.
Yeah. You have a funny video?
So I want to show this. So I think it's funny because it actually hits home. Now, I'm a worship leader. You're a worship leader. Mm-hmm. Have you ever led worship? You're a worship leader, right?
He looks like a worship leader, I told you.
Yeah?
I got the skinny jeans for it.
No. Do you have skinny jeans?
No,
listen, we don't allow skinny jeans.
That's against my
religion. We don't allow it. I'll just tell you. Listen, we actually vet people when they come on leadership here. We go through their background, you know, have they ever been arrested, this, that, and then we say, have you ever wore skinny jeans? And if that's the case, you know, just don't cut it. I just can't.
I listen to worship music. How's that?
The reason I don't wear skinny jeans is because I'm fat. If I wasn't fat, I'd probably wear skinny jeans. So I have fat jeans.
I'm glad you don't wear skinny jeans. You have a really good style.
I have a good style.
Sunday. Oh, you see your style?
Nice.
Wow. He had the coat. He pulled off the jacket with the
vest. I wore a tie.
With the tie and the cowboy boots. That's new.
I thought there was a funeral. The funeral was
on Monday, and I wore a tie then as well. I did a funeral. I did my good friend Sharon Barton's funeral on Monday. Just love her with all my heart. I've known her for 40-some-odd years.
Sweetest.
Made a tremendous difference in my life and with our church. And we had her big send-off on Monday. It was awesome.
It was
amazing.
It was good, man. And
it's beautiful.
So praise the Lord. Yeah. So, but I also wore a tie for that.
It was amazing. Yeah.
I'm not against wearing ties. Mm-hmm. I'm not. I just don't have a neck. And that's kind of a thing, you know. If you don't have a neck,
skinny people don't understand this.
I want to show you, as people lead in praise and worship, and they see how people, well, there's different worship expressions throughout the body of Jesus. Tim Hawkins tells us the actual names for those prophetic expressions of worship. Watch this.
But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're at my church, music is rocking, start slow, hands in the pockets, little elbow flap, you're fine. Very subtle, get warmed up, get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV, that's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. If you're a liar, you go out there, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. Got goalposts. Everybody knows goalposts. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite. The same. Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom.
Oh, yeah.
Release the doves. Give the Lord a high five. Press it out.
Awesome. That is awesome.
A lot of women like to wash the window.
Wash the window.
And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky touchdown. There you go. There's your big three.
That's what I'm talking about. So as a worship leader, every time I look out there now, I'm gonna be actually looking, go, oh, that's, you know.
No, I'm gonna be
that's
looking.
That's Mufasa right there. They're all about. So man, when I worship, I tend to do this. I tend to do the heartburn. Yeah. I tend to do that. But I'm kind of all over the map.
I think I'm all over, but I never really think about it. I think it's just it happens.
A lot of times, man, when you're worshiping, you literally, and you do this on stage all the time, you get down on your knees and you put your face on the floor. And I'm like, man, that is so awesome. It's just beautiful.
I don't practice that. I pray, but it's just what you do,
right? It's just what you do. You're free to express your worship, which means showing God Almighty he's worthy and showing God Almighty what a big deal he is to you, giving him everything that you have in full demonstration, right on. Man, we want him to show up for us, so we show up for him. That's what we do.
I love it.
I think it's beautiful, man. Right on.
How do you worship?
I'm usually one hand in the air, but I've also got a headset on and an eye open. But I honestly, if you ever want to see me cry, it's usually during worship. That's kind of my thing. I can't get down on my face because it would take three ushers.
Yeah,
and
I have to call. AAA. Yeah. AAA is going to have to back up and get me up off the floor. Yeah, you know, that's going to be bad.
Oh my goodness.
Jennifer says that she's a touchdown girl. That's okay. What she says she is. Yeah. And I love different styles of worship. Aww. Yep. I love all this. Guys, we're actually reading all your comments. So if you have one, be sure and leave us a comment. And here in a few minutes, we're going to be going behind the veil and I'm going to be answering questions. Guys, you guys know that we rescued five kids out of sexual slavery in the 18 days that I was in Uganda. And I'm not talking about the kids we rescued in Uganda. Mm. I'm talking about the kids that we rescued on this side of the world. Yeah. And we're going to be sharing those stories. And then is Todd on here yet?
Yep.
You know what? Before I get to this other story, I want Pastor Todd Coconato. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Troy, I'm trying to do the no neck over here. Oh,
yeah. I'm trying to, you know. And man, there's people that make comments or all the stuff I do. And every time this little giblet right here moves around, because it tends to move around, they'll say gobble, 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 gobble. And listen, man, I'm not the guy that stays up rocking back and forth at night because somebody says something mean to me. I am not that guy. And it just cracks me up.
That's true.
Yeah,
I know that to be the case, my friend. Yes.
Todd, I actually have a wall here of some of my favorite hate mail. I have a wall here, and it's called the Skunk Wall. And
nice.
we print it out and put it up there. You got to read this. This is outstanding. So anyway, you just have to be okay with it. I've never been that good looking to begin with. And I'm 58 years old. But I want to tell you this, man, I'm a bad motor scooter. Just
you're doing
just,
good.
We're
you're
all doing bad good, motor man. Scooters in Jesus, man. And that's so I'll celebrate that.
That's right. That's
hey, man,
right.
You helped me out in a really big way yesterday, Pastor. You helped me out in such a big way. I called you and I said, dude, I just got invited to be on David Harris Jr.'s show. And I just got invited and he wants me to talk about the death of the Pope. And he wants me to talk about this. And man, you helped me. I called you and I was like, dude, what would you be, what are the themes that you would be talking about? And you just spit them out because that's the genius of Todd Coconato. And you're like, gang, 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 gang. I'm like, yes. Okay. Yeah. I got that. Yes. That's what I'm going to do. And then I prepped. My team stayed here until 8 o'clock at night. We got here. I had notes all over the place of things I wanted to say. I had the death date looked up. I had scriptures looked up that matched the death date. I got ready to talk about who is the next pope that is in line. I got ready to talk about that him being 88 years old and what that represents. The whole shift that there's a major global shift that's taking place all throughout the world. Yeah. And then he comes on, I'm live, and he says, so, tell me something good.
Yeah, I've been there. I know what you're talking about, man. I mean, every time I get interviewed, people need to understand. I mean, we have to make sure because we're speaking live. Yeah. You never know what somebody's going to ask, but you don't want to say something incorrect because if you say something incorrect, then the heresy hunters will be all over
you.
That's exactly right.
No,
well, you do a great job, Troy.
Thank you. Well, I went, okay. And I just went, well, I got good news. And I just started, you know, talking about the things I see that Jesus is doing, but it was wild. So anyway, I do not consider it a waste of time. And you know what that's like with all the interviews you do, all the interviews that I do, you sow and so, you prepare for like 50 different interviews and then you sit there and then you wait for what comes. But I'm telling you this, it was definitely not a waste of time to spend time with you yesterday, man. And I'm so grateful for you, brother. Thank you.
Likewise. I mean, that's the way I look at it. I mean, I think we need to have more conversations like that. We sharpen one another. That's what the Bible says to do, you know? Yeah. So, and we're talking about some serious things, you know, we can't negate the fact that these are like, we're in such an important time with so many things happening at once right now that I think we have to be watchmen and we got to have each other's back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. Well, the thing I'm asking you to talk about today, which, by the way, you can talk about anything you want to because I'm in. I mean, man, you want to talk rescue. You want to talk about President Trump. You want to talk about chemtrails. How about that? You want to talk about we can go through the whole nine yards. But how about this, buddy? Tell me what Jesus did at your church over Easter weekend.
Man, I'm still reeling from it, just in a good way. I mean, we're just excited about what God's doing. I've never seen hunger like we see right now, Troy. I've never seen it. And we're seeing something very amazing happening where young people are coming to know the Lord and they're excited about it. And this is what we've been praying. And I think that is a true testament of a real move of God that's happening. And it's not, of course, just at our church. It's nationwide and even worldwide. The young people are getting fired up. I don't know if you saw the 10,000 kids at Auburn College that were just in there praising God. Yeah, I mean, how cool is that? I mean, you know, honestly, and you're, you know, not too much older than me, so we're kind of the same generation, but you know, if you think about this, our generation, I would have loved to have that, man. I mean, it wasn't happening at that time, at least not where I was going to school. I mean, people were smoking weed. They were, you know, they were thinking like MTV, that was cool. And, you know, to be like a celebrity and that this is the goal in life, this is success. I think these young people now, they're seeing through the lies of the enemy. And I'm praying and I'm believing that they're not even going to have to go through that rebellious period. Because you know how it is, like in church, at least for many years, it's been like, you know, the kid goes to youth group, they come with their parents. A lot of times, not always, but sometimes they go in the world for a season and then most of the time they come back. But I'm just praying that that season in the world doesn't even need to happen. I'm praying that these kids catch the fire and, you know, they're this end time generation. And things are so significant that are happening right now on the world stage. And I want to get into some of these things. Actually, there's something I really want to talk about, Troy, if you don't mind. We'll roll it out here for the first time because I want to get your feedback on this. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Let's go.
Okay, man. So check this out. I know you know Isaiah 45, the chapter, and 46 and 47. Are you familiar with that scripture
set? I am, yeah. Promise.
Anyway, man, I'm praying about this the other day. And all of a sudden, I felt like a revelation from the Lord. But, you know, I was thinking about President Trump is the 45th president, right? He was the 45th president. And during that period of time, it was, you know, remember the fake news media and all the things that President Trump rolled out for the first time. We haven't seen any other politician say a lot of the things that he said. And I think he opened a lot of people's eyes. And there was an awakening that happened in the political sphere. But I think that that bled into, and of course, he wasn't the catalyst. I think it was a sequence of events that all kind of happened at the same time where people were looking for a populist and somebody outside of the system. And he just happened to be that guy, but he was saying the right things. But, you know, then we go into 46 and it was like the worst case it could have been. I mean, think about all the corruption during the Biden era. Think about how egregious it was for believers. Think about how many people were, you know, coming against religious liberty and freedom, biblical marriage. I mean, we just saw a big exponential push for all this propaganda and demonic, you know, agenda and the World Economic Forum and all that. And then you go to 47 and President Trump is 47. He's 45 and 47. And a lot of people in our community, especially, have likened Trump to a Cyrus type figure. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And if you think about what Cyrus allowed to happen, he allowed the children of Israel to become free again, you know, after the season of 46 into 47. There was a freedom that happened. And when the children of Israel were freed, what'd they go do? They went to go build the temple. Now, think about this from a prophetic standpoint right now. What president do you know has been more pro-Israel than President Trump? Who has been, I mean, he moved the embassy to Jerusalem. You know, he's very supportive of, he understands why it's important to support Israel. Could President Trump, could it be a mirror of Isaiah 45, 46, and 47? Could we be in a mirror of that right now? Because the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And could President Trump, we're looking at it like, you know, obviously it's given us more time to be about souls. And, you know, I believe God responded to the prayers of the righteous. He you know, the election could have gone a totally different direction. And it's not about a political figure. We're not idolizing President Trump. We're just saying it would have been a lot worse if we would have had a Kamala Harris president. It would have been like a third Obama term. So God gave us more time. Of course, that's for soul winning. Of course, that's for being about the business of the Lord, for kingdom business. But what if there's another thing that could be happening here? What if President Trump, what if God could be using him to prepare the way for the third temple? So hold that thought. I started looking into this and seeing how far along the Temple Institute and all these organizations that have been getting and gathering, I'm sure you've heard of them over the years, all of the elements for the temple. Brother, they are so advanced at this point. And then I found footage where Netanyahu said to President Trump that I think that you're going to actually be the one that paves the way for the temple. I just want to know what you think about all this.
Brother, I'm actually trying not to comment too much because I'm privy to a lot of information of how real that is. And here's what I can tell you. I can tell you, I believe what you just said 2000%. And the first bull out of the chute, so to speak, that has to happen is the ashes of the red heifer. We know that the red heifers are there. There are five of them that was brought from Glen Rose, Texas, which is my hometown. The guy that found them and brought them over there is a good friend of mine. And he's neck deep into all of that. We all send texts back and forth, and it's going to be, the whole world is going to know very, very soon that the red heifer has been sacrificed and that ritual has taken place, which means the temple can actually be rebuilt. On the other side of that, they have the plans. They are retrieving relics from all over the world.
That's right.
There are people that are actively retrieving ancient relics from literally all over the planet because this thing is happening. This move is happening. And I have a lot of private information. I'm involved in a lot of things with people that are actually in the middle of retrieving these relics. And you wouldn't believe the things that they already have. It's crazy.
Right.
Now, when I start talking about the rebuilding of the temple, I get really excited because I know that Jesus is coming back to that temple. I know that he is coming back.
That's what I'm saying.
He's coming back to that temple. I mean, he is. He is coming back. Now, whenever you and I start talking this, immediately a third of the angels fall from heaven and immediately out of our newsfeed because they're like, you guys are Christians. Why would you want the temple to be built with the blood of bulls and all the five different sacrifices that take place there? Why would you? Don't you read the book of Revelation? It's going to be a cauldron for the Antichrist. It's going to be it is not the friend of God. Well, Jesus is going to come back and he's going to make it holy. And he is going to come back, and he's going to rule and reign, not from Fort Worth, Texas, but actually from Jerusalem, Israel. And the Bible says that when he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives, dude, when he does, the ground splits. And do you know what that new split is? It's a new prime meridian. So it's no longer in Greenwich, London, England, that we say, okay, this is where time starts, and this is where real estate starts, and all the longitude that goes east and west, this is how you measure it. Everything will be measured from Jesus Christ on his throne at the temple on the Mount.
That's exactly right.
And that's why I support that.
Now check this out. So then I get into some more study, and I come across this thing called Palantir. Have you heard of Palantir?
No.
Okay, so Palantir, you got to look this up. It's a contractor with our government, and they've been utilized by the DOJ and the FBI and all the intel community. And now they're working with the private sector, and it's weaponized technology, but that same technology, it has a data file on every single person. And who you associate with, are you conservative, are you Christian, who your friends are, what your buying patterns are, even crazier, where do you go on Tuesday night? It'll tell you where you're going to be on Tuesday night. If you have a pattern in your life, if you go to your kid's soccer game, it knows it. I mean, this thing is scary. And so then I started reading into this other technology called Astra. And Astra is a self-learning AI. Check this out, man. A self-learning AI that literally can have a conversation. And what it's doing right now, it's crawling the internet and learning. And it's actually being allowed to do that. And at some point, this thing is going to become so advanced in its thinking that it's going to be beyond the human comprehension, which that's almost unthinkable. But that's what their goal is. It's called singularity. When these supercomputers, it's actually now quantum technology, get more advanced than the human brain. So let's put AI with the fact that they have all your information. Now let's talk about the temple being built and think about how everything right now with the technology that's readily available at this particular time, 2025, every single thing the Bible talks about for the end times is now being built. How bizarre and crazy. That's why we got to make sure that we have the urgency in our spirit, because even though there's a lull right now and we're blessed that, you know, the election maybe went the way that we wanted to. But the last thing that we can do is become complacent or apathetic right now, because we have to understand we're still advancing towards what the Bible says. We may have been given a few more years, but brother, I believe in my heart that by 2030, we're going to see some significant changes in the financial world. And I think some of these things are being laid out right now. Even some of the people around President Trump, and of course, I support President Trump, but you start looking at a Peter Thiel and some of these other tech guys, even Elon Musk, and you start seeing some of the programs and the things that they're putting together, it all connects to the beast system. I just think it's interesting.
The whole beast system. You got it, buddy. So the image of the beast, right? The one corporate mind throughout the world, the mixture of iron and clay, right? The mixture of human beings and technology, all of that has been predicted for thousands of years. And now you and I get a front row seat to see it come to pass, which is, again, has to do with, we have to have a real sense of urgency. We have to have a monster sense of urgency. And I'm all about it. You're all about it. You guys are killing it. Hey, man, if people want to find you, how do they find you, Todd?
Thank you, man. Well, we try to make it super easy. So PastorTodd.org, super easy, PastorTodd.org. And it's like this online hub, and then you can see how to download our app or how to follow me on social media. It's all on that site. So it's kind of like our central hub, you know.
Please come to Open Door Church and preach soon, man. Come on back.
Come on, man. I want to. Come on. You give me a date, I'm there, man.
Okay, I will. I'm going to throw some dates at you. And then next time I'm in Nashville, I'll come by there and I'll see you, man. We got to get together.
We would like that. We would really like that, brother. I mean that. Thank you. So hopefully this was I know it's not super edifying, but I think sometimes this stuff is interesting.
Great.
And if somebody looks into those things, though, they're going to be like, when I started looking into it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is all here, you know? So I just think the believer needs to understand and discern the times, both good and bad. I think it's the best of times and the worst of times at the same time.
Hey, man, you got to see the comments. So we have, I mean, we're looking at probably, I don't know, 15 or 20 different nations. We're looking at tons and tons and tons of people. And people are coming, yes, 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 yes. No, this is great stuff. This is right up our alley. So you guys have a question or you have a comment that you guys want to share?
And you.
Okay.
Yeah. Daryl asks, why is there a need for the third temple?
Yeah. Okay. So you want to go?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a prophecy that was given many years ago, of course, in the scripture. But what's going to happen is there's going to be the abomination of desolation. There's going to be a sequence of events that I would highly encourage you to look into, that the temple is a part of these events. So and then eventually Jesus is going to come and rule and reign, and there's going to be a new Jerusalem, and you're not going to, you know, but it's all part of a sequence of prophetic events. And the temple is significant. You got to look at the history of the temple and how, you know, the temple was there and then it was destroyed and then it was back. And so this is a big deal. And it's a major prophecy that's being fulfilled about the end times. And there's going to be things that happen there.
Yeah. So let me throw some things out here and tell you about this, because exactly Amos 9 verse 11 is what God Almighty actually desires, is to reestablish the tabernacle of David where everybody has access. But in the sequence of events that go towards that taking place, the third temple is actually key to it. Now, I get a lot of, you know, a lot of people can misunderstand because everybody understands this from the media or that from the media. And let me say this. I am so pro-Israel, it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm a tremendous pro-Israel guy. With that said, that doesn't mean that I'm blind to the anti-Christian mess that they have that goes on there. I'm not blind to the socialism that takes place as a nation. I'm not blind to the espionage that they do that is actually detrimental to the United States. I'm not blind to any of those things. I'm still pro-Israel because I'm pro-Jesus, but you also got to step around. It's kind of like walking through my back pasture. You got to step over some things, right on? Yeah. Okay. You got to be able to step over it, and you got to be able to pull up your big boy pants and go, okay, I'm for this, but I'm not standing with this. I'm going to stand with this, but I'm not for that. Now that I've said that, what's real is when the temple is rebuilt, God Almighty is going to have to himself raise up these mysterious two witnesses in the book of Revelation to preach the gospel and the kingdom at that place, because it's not being preached.
Right.
I mean, God Almighty himself will raise up. And there's a big argument as to who those two guys, you know, is it Enoch? Is it Moses? Is it Elijah? Who are these two guys? But with that said, God Almighty literally raises up a prophetic voice, because the shenanigans that's going on there is so counter to the kingdom that he literally sends two holy prophets with supernatural abilities to actually preach the kingdom. Now, that's going to take place. So when I say I'm excited about the the temple being rebuilt. I'm not excited about the blasphemous shenanigans and the abomination of desolation and the fact that people think that they can get around the blood of Jesus Christ and the cross. No, 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 no. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is Jesus, who isn't nice, is going to come back and clean house. And that's Amen. The house that he's starting with.
Come on.
That's yes. what I'm talking about.
That's so, right. And I love what you said about Israel too, man, because the thing is with Israel is it's like America. America has a deep state, yes, right? I mean, and we know there's corruption. So does Israel. Israel's got a deep state. So the thing is this, like, do we stop supporting America because they have a deep state? Do we go over and support China, who's communist, because America has a deep state? It's the same thing with Israel. And the thing about it, if you go against Israel and you're like, well, I'm done with Israel because they have a deep state. So then are you going to partner with Ishmael? Because that's basically what you're
exactly.
doing.
Exactly. I'm not going to do that.
No, you're not.
Well, I want to tell you, Pastor Todd, we need to do this more often. I know that you're so busy and I don't bug you enough. I need to start bugging you, man. And I need you to go, come on, join me. Because
I would love to.
This is incredible stuff. So PastorTodd.org, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Guys, be sure and look up my good friend, Todd Coconato. He's the real deal and I love him with all my heart. Brother Todd, thanks so much, man, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Troy. And we'll see you all soon. Thank you.
I'll see you later, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right.
Wow. Bye-bye. Todd Coconato. Wow. How about them apples?
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
Dude, when he and I are on the phone. So if he and I and Alan DiDio and Joseph Z are on the phone together, or if we're all in the same car, it's craziness.
Feels like it could be a show.
It's crazy. Yeah, we might ought to try something like that.
You should film that.
We should try something like that. Yeah. Who knows? I see again, friends, that there's friends all over the planet Earth. I want to tell you that speaking of Israel, we're going to be going to Israel soon. And whenever we do go to Israel, I want to take you with me, and not just you, but also two other really cool people. I want you guys to watch this video.
Elsbeth, right here. I'm standing with my two best friends, Joseph Z and Troy Brewer. We're about to take you on a trip that's going to transform your life forever. Where are we going, Brother Troy?
Headed off to Israel.
Come on.
And I'm talking about when we go to Israel, we go to Israel. And we're going to go to all the places that people would expect, but we're also going to do some really cool stuff that's just us.
Yeah, that's some wild connections, right, that we have in the Holy Land.
We sure is. Yeah, I think it's going to be a supernatural time for people to get connected to their biblical understanding, for the Lord to speak to you. I think it's going to be amazing when this kind of synergy comes together in the Holy Ghost. It's going to be great.
Unlike anything that's ever been done in the Holy Land. And we're going to be going places that people don't go. You're going to experience things that are going to transform your life forever. November the 1st is when we take off. The 1st or the 12th, you go to faithandflametours.com to sign up and register. It's going to fill up fast, so they got to sign up right now.
It is.
I've been looking forward to this, and this is going to actually be a dream come true trip for me. I haven't been to Israel in 5 years.
Wow.
I have so many friends there. We rescue kids there. We feed people, all the stuff. So let's go there and let's all be a part of that.
Yeah. I'm happy to go with you guys.
I'm happy to go with you. It's going to be amazing. Faithandflametours.com.
Join us.
Faithandflametours.com is where you sign up and you're like, is it safe? You know what? Hey, look, if you want to go to Israel, come go to Israel with us and prepare for your family to throw a fit. Prepare for the limp-wristed people in your church to throw a fit. All you got to do to get the body of Christ to turn against you is to either go on a missions trip, right? Or feed the homeless. Now, look, they'll put up with you if you smoke dope. They'll put up with you that you cheated on your wife and you did all kinds. They'll put up with all that. But as soon as you decide, I'm going on a missions trip, they're like, don't. Hey, can I tell you something? Give those people the left foot of fellowship. Put together some cash. Go to Faith and Flame,
faithandflametours.com
and sign up for this trip of a lifetime. I have my favorite places. Alan has his favorite places. Joseph Z has his favorite places. And we're all three going to be together. And it's going to be radical. Good.
It's going to be awesome having all three of you. I mean, when you guys are together, it's amazing. So I'm just excited to see everything that y'all go to. And what is your favorite place? I know you've been to Israel, right? So what is your favorite? Do you have a favorite place?
I've been more than a dozen times to Israel. And so I know Israel. And I have tons and tons of favorites, but I have some places that I like to go. Like, I like to go where Stephen was martyred. Mm. Mm. I like to go to that. I also very much It's all about the Tower of the Flock for me, man. Mm. The Tower of the Flock, and everybody doesn't know about the Tower of the Flock. And the Tower of the Flock is the actual to the square foot piece of real estate where King Jesus was born. There's two prophecies in the Old Testament that says he will be born at the Tower of the Flock, which is in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. But it's not in Palestinian-controlled Bethlehem. It's in Israeli-controlled Bethlehem.
Wow.
And let me tell you what's about 20 yards away from the Tower of the Flock is the threshing floor of Ruth and Boaz.
Wow.
Oh.
It's still there. And that being, of course, the grandparents of King mm-hmm. David. So that is, it's in Shepherd's Field, and that's where King David grew up among the sheep, was right there at the very birthplace of where Jesus would be born.
That's
and the very amazing. Place of the announcement of the angels in Shepherd's Field. And that's all. And dude, we'll walk around. I'll show it to you. It's going to blow people's minds. It is literally mind blowing. So Solomon built it. Mm-hmm. Solomon built it 2000 years before Jesus. Solomon built the Tower of the Flock and the Tower of the Flock. And again, I want to encourage everybody to look all this up. The Tower of the Flock, which is in Bethlehem, on the outskirts of Bethlehem, he built it for a very specific reason. Number one, it's the strong tower, okay? Mm. So if you get attacked or whatever, it's the tower that you run into where they can't attack you, right? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. But it is specifically a strong tower for the shepherds of Shepherd's Field. Those shepherds were not just normal shepherds. They were commissioned by the priests at the rebuilding of the temple, or I should say at the building of the temple that Solomon built. When he built the temple, he also built the Tower of the Flock in Bethlehem. Why? So that they could find a baby lamb, wrap it in swaddling clothes when they found no spot on it whatsoever, put it in the stone manger at the bottom, and then they would put a fire on the top and announce, "We have found the perfect lamb for Passover." Jesus Christ was born in that very spot.
Wow.
And that's why whenever the angels of the Lord came down and the hosts of heaven, they came down looking like the constellations of heaven, telling how the heavens declared the glory of God mm-hmm. and the whole redemptive story that's written in the heavens. They come down, they sing, and then the angels ask them, say, "Where do we find this Messiah?" And they didn't tell him where. They tell him how he was prepared. Because there was only one place where you prepared a lamb, then you wrapped it in swaddling clothes so that it couldn't kick, and then you placed it in a manger. They simply said, "Well, you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, placed in a manger." That was their job, was to find the perfect lamb, to wrap him in swaddling clothes and place him in a manger. That was their job. So that's why the angels told them that. So they ran to the Tower of the Flock, which was the only place that Joseph and Mary could find to have a baby in. And that's their family's territory. They come from the line of David, right? And that's why we have the tradition that there were animals in there.
Wow.
That's so cool.
That would be
it's
amazing.
The Tower of the Flock.
Yeah, that would be.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you this too. When Solomon made the Tower of the Flock, the tower is gone. The tower is
gone.
That
was before, I think.
Right on. Mm-hmm. But the bottom part of it is there, and you can actually step down into it, the bottom part of it, and it is the exact dimensions of the Holy of Holies. So as Solomon built the Holy of Holies in the temple, he also built the Holy of Holies at the bottom of the Tower of the Flock, and Jesus was born on Passover as the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, placed in the stone manger in a place that was the Holy of Holies.
Wow.
Well, when you stand there, it'll blow your mind.
So cool.
If you're like, whatever happened, is that manger still there? No. Hitler sent his squad down there in the 1930s because he was collecting holy relics all over the world. And he went down there and they literally cut it out. It was stone and the thing was cut around it. He cut it out. So it went over to Berlin until the end of World War II, and then it went to South America. And then my friend who put together the ashes of the red heifer, the red heifers, that same exact guy, Brother Byron got hooked up with the Israeli government. They went to South America, and they got it. And the Israelis were like, "We don't know that we want this here. We don't know." So he moved it here. It was in Glen Rose, Texas for 20 years, the manger was. Wow. It was in Glen Rose, Texas, and now it's in a museum at the center of the United States in Kansas.
Wow.
Really?
They found the geocenter of the United States and placed the manger of Jesus right there, and they built an actual
That's so cool.
Yeah, man, I'm neck deep in all that stuff, man.
I see that.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
That is really cool.
No, I really want to go.
So, yeah.
You should go.
You should go. Amazing.
We have a picture, I believe, of how you said it's not all the way up. Is that how it looks?
Yeah, yeah. It's something like that. So, yeah. So, but we're looking at whenever we see, and again, these towers are very important. Again, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. So it's like, dude, if you couldn't get to a fortress, what they had was they had these kinds of towers everywhere. Wow. And then you could run to it. You could close the door and the guys couldn't get in. They couldn't kill you. And then they get bored and they'd leave. So you just stacked a bunch of water in it. You just stacked a bunch of food in it. And that's what you did.
Wow.
Okay.
Then also shepherds could use it too, because they could bring their flocks here and they could actually go up and they could identify wounded sheep. They could go down.
That's exactly right.
As well as like when you sleep at night, you know, you could look over at any lions or any predators that came in. You got first shot at them.
Well, it's really cool. So we're going to do that. We're going to go to the slopes of Ashkelon. We're going to go all the main sites. You know, we're going to do the main things. But then, man, there's also some other things. Of course, we'll go to Megiddo. We'll go to the Valley of Armageddon. We'll go to Mount Carmel. We'll do all those things. And I'll give my spill. Joseph will give his spill. Pastor Alan DiDio will be giving his spill. And then we'll field questions. We're going to film the whole thing. It's going to be crazy cool.
That is great.
It's going to be amazing.
All right. Well, this has been a great show today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get ready to go behind the veil, because I have a very special announcement that is just for my ODX 2, my ODX Stage 3 partners. And I want to just say this. If you have not yet joined us as a partner at ODX Stage 2 or ODX Stage 3, come on, man. What are you waiting on? Come on, I double dog dare you. Help me not only rescue these kids all throughout the planet Earth, but help me write the big fat check that I have to every single month to take care of over 4,000 children. So over 4,000 children. And guys, when I say we're taking care of 4,000 children, those are the ones that we're responsible for. Those are not the literal tens of thousands of children in our schools that we feed every day. That's not them. Like just in Uganda, we have over 4,000 children in our schools, just in our schools, when we got to feed those kids every day. But I'm talking about the kids that we're actually responsible for when I talk about, you know, the 4,000 kids. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot, and it takes a lot of partnership, but it's not too much. You know what? And it's all worth it. I want to encourage you guys, call 877-413-0888. Again, it's 877-413-0888, or simply go to odx.tv. Yeah, do that. All right.
Yeah.
So let's go. If you're stage two or if you're stage three, just hold on, because I'm about to tell you something that I'm not going to be able to share publicly for a long time, but you're going to be the first ones to hear about it. So hold your horses. You guys have anything else?
Nope. We're just ready for our commercial, which I love.
All right. So look here, guys. We're going to go to our commercial that we are pushing all across YouTube. We're actually pushing. We're about to start putting that on Newsmax. And then after that, if you're watching on odx.tv, just stay right where you are, because I got something cool to tell you. Here we go.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem, it's our problem, and it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.